As a young man delights in his bride, so shall your God delight in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you a story about a priest friend of mine by the name of John, so Father John. He had a wonderful sort of experience after he was ordained. He was just a young man. And one day he went out to his local food joint, a fast food restaurant, and just went to order his food. And when he approached to grab his food, the young man didn't recognize that he was a priest because he was all bundled up. But his collar showed just a little bit as he was reaching for his food, and the man stumbled a little bit and said, "Oh, are you a priest? Are you a priest? Have a good night, Father. Here's your food." And there was a young lady who heard this just behind him, and she asked that same question, "A priest? Are you really a priest, or are you just dressed up?" And he said, "No, I'm actually a priest. I was just ordained not too long ago." And she just stepped back for a moment, sized him up, and just said casually, "It's not going to last." He was surprised by that, of course, and didn't know what to say. He said, "Excuse me, what'd you say?" She said, "It's not going to last." He just went about what she was doing. He was stunned, as you can imagine, in that moment. So he just took his food, got into his car, and as soon as he'd put it into reverse, he sort of heard a voice from our Lord just saying, "No, no, you got to go back. You got to go back and talk to her." And he's, "Oh man, why do I have to do this? I don't want to go talk to her. This is embarrassing." So he went up to her and found out where she was, if she was still there, and went up over and talked to her. And as she saw him coming up, she just sort of did one of those numbers and just sort of went about acting like she was doing something. I didn't fly. He went up to her and asked her, "So, ma'am, I know this is awkward, but I got to ask you a question. I got to talk to you for a moment." So he said, "Look, are you Catholic?" She said, "No." "Are you Christian in any way?" She said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to the Baptist church." I said, "Okay, well, are you married?" "No, I'm not married, but do you want to get married?" She said, "Oh yeah, I really want to get married." He said, "Good. Well, I just want you to imagine something in this moment. See yourself there on your wedding day. You got the man of your dreams. You're all dolled up and everything. And you're there waiting at the back of the church, this long, beautiful aisle. Everybody is there gathered for you. You're in that moment. And as those doors open, everybody is aghast at how beautiful you are as they turn to face you. And you come down that altar to meet the man whom you're about to give yourself to in holy matrimony. And one of your friends, as you're passing by, walking, leaps out of the aisle and says to you, 'Hey, it's not going to last. How's it going to make you feel?'" And she immediately blushed and said, "I'm so sorry, Father. I'm really, really sorry. I shouldn't have done that." That's an embarrassing moment. Why talk about marriage at this moment where we're talking about, we're supposed to be celebrating the marriage, we're supposed to be celebrating Christmas? The reason why I tell you is because it's very connected. It's very connected because today, Christmas, the nativity of Jesus Christ, isn't about a birth. It's not about a birth. The nativity of Jesus Christ is about a marriage. It's not about a birth. Yeah, we see those nativity scenes with Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the Holy Family gathered around. We see those animals and that creche scene. But it's not about a birth. Because Jesus' birth is completely different than yours and my birth. When you were born, what happened? Your parents got together, and about 9 months after your conception, you popped out, right? Before your parents got together, you didn't exist. And 9 months later, you were seen by all humanity, really. The world rejoiced. That's not the way it worked with Jesus. Because when Jesus came into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit, that wasn't when he came into existence. See, God existed long before that, for an eternity before that. God always was. He always is. And Jesus always was God. There was never a moment when Jesus did not exist, even before he came into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's how his birth was different. That's how his beginning was different than your beginning or my beginning. There wasn't a moment when God didn't exist. He always was. And that's why the real technical definition for what our feast day today isn't just the nativity. We're talking about incarnation. Incarnation, a great mystery. What does the incarnation mean, though? Has anybody ever had carne asada or chili con carne? I have. I had some sort of great carne last night at the Elvira's house. What is carne? What is it? It's the feet, it's the flesh, it's the meat, it's the good stuff. That's what it is. And so we're celebrating the feast of the carne. God's taking on carne, God taking on flesh. And so that's what this feast day is. It's not the birth of Jesus Christ. No, it is the moment when Jesus Christ, the second person of the divine Trinity, took on flesh. Human flesh, like your flesh, like my flesh. God entering into my reality and your reality so that he can be touched just as you and I can be touched. That's what this is all about. What happens here is that God and humanity, two separate things, become one in the person of Jesus Christ. What's going on here is that two become one. And what happens when two become one? That's a marriage, isn't it? You're just married, right? Yeah. Two becoming one. That is a marriage. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about a marriage. It's not about a birth. And so maybe you think that I'm just being a little overly poetic or taking creative license with the scriptures or something like that. But no. Marriage verbiage is all throughout the whole of Holy Scriptures. Everywhere. Let me give you a few examples. We've been looking a lot in this season of Advent, and probably every single Sunday just about, we've been talking about John the Baptist, right? That whole gospel passage, that was about John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Well, do you remember the last time that John the Baptist says anything in the same gospel of John? Remember what's going on? John's there preaching by the waters, and the crowds start to come up to him and say, "Hey, remember that guy that you talked about, that you pointed out being the Lamb of God? Well, all those people who were following you, now they're following him. What are you supposed to think about that, John?" And do you know how John responded to that? John responded, and he just turned to them and he said to them, "Look, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, that is the best man, is he who stands and hears him. And he rejoices at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, I must decrease." That's John the Baptist. He's saying Jesus is the bridegroom. That the bride is the people who Jesus has called to himself. I am the best man. That's it. That's what my role is. And so as the best man, I got to decrease while the bridegroom increases, taking his bride to himself. That's just one passage there. Remember another place in Matthew chapter 9, also Luke chapter 5, Mark chapter 2, it talks about Jesus. And there's that moment where all these people start coming around Jesus and saying, "Hey, look, why is it that your disciples, they don't fast? Everybody else's disciples fast. John the Baptist's disciples fast. Why don't your disciples fast?" Do you remember how Jesus responded to that? He turned to them and he said, "Look, the wedding guests cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they?" Of course they can't. A wedding is time for feasting, right? He goes on to say, Jesus says, "The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." So isn't Jesus talking about himself as a bridegroom, taking his bride to himself? Marriage language is all throughout. And in the last book of the Bible, you remember what that is? The book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, especially in chapter 19, verse 7 through 10, all that is going on in there describes the second coming. It describes God coming to his people. And do you know what it talks about that as? Big title. It says, "The marriage feast of the Lamb." The wedding feast, the wedding banquet of the Lamb. That's what we're all headed toward at the end of time. Not destruction. We're headed toward a wedding feast. That's how God visits his people. Even that first reading that we had last night at the vigil service talks about God seeing into our situation of darkness and not just standing aloof from it, but he acts. And he doesn't act in a general way. What God is acting in is a personal, intimate way. You know, this is what it says. It says, as a young man marries a virgin, your builder will marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. What God is saying there, he's saying in Isaiah 62, as a young man delights in his bride, so will your God delight in you. Marriage language. Language of the wedding feast. This is something that is going on all throughout of Scripture. Now, how many of you men are married? Have been married? How many? Do you remember that moment when you were there standing here at the foot of the altar and your bride is coming down? You see those doors open and how everybody was oohing and aahing and you were doing even more so because you knew she was yours? As she came down there and looked there, everybody turned and saw her. What was going on in your heart, that longing? You know, that's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas today, the Nativity, the Incarnation is about. It's about desire. Christmas is about a longing. But whose longing is it about? It's about God's longing. And who is God desiring? Who is God longing for? He's longing for you. He's longing for me. That's what Christmas is about. All of us here, what we really want in our deepest center, we know this, is love. Each one of us wants love, and you know what? God is love. And therefore, because we know that we want love, and we know that God is love, really, brothers and sisters, everybody wants God. Even if some of us don't recognize that in our lives right now, or find that tough to hold on to, because we want love and God is love, each one of us has a longing, a desire for God that he's placed within us, because it's his desire for us that we're sharing it. And today is a day that really is going to test that love for us. How? Maybe you already did it before you came to Mass today. Opening all those presents, right? You're going to get a lot of stuff. You're going to get a lot of things, a lot of gadgets, a lot of Fandango contraptions and whatnot. Those are good things, right? It's a way that we show love by getting and receiving gifts. But one thing that's going to happen there is you're going to come to realize that none of these things actually satisfy us. They don't, because they're not actually what we need. If you get, like I always get from my dad, a pack of socks and underwear every Christmas, that's something you need. It's something that you need. But it's not something that's going to fill me up and satisfy me. When you get that new toy or that new gadget, that's something that you want. But ultimately, it's going to break down. It's not going to satisfy. What we want from God, what we really want is we want a knowledge of our belonging, a knowledge that we're protected, a knowledge that we're safe, that everything in the end is going to go all right, even if at this moment it's all going to pieces. That's where security has to be, in love, knowing that we're loved. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about God's desire for us. What's going on here at Christmas is that it's like a fairy tale, except for that it's true. It's a true fairy tale. Because the message of Christmas is that you are insanely loved. That you are ridiculously loved. That you are foolishly loved. That's what Christmas is about. And God came down from heaven so that you and I could come to know that, so that we could recognize him. God was in that place of strength, in that place of security and safety, away from humanity in that sense. But he didn't stay there. He took on our weak carne, our weak flesh, and fought with our difficulties, our trials, our most dangerous enemies. Taking on betrayal from those whom he deeply loved. Taking on loss of his loved ones. He experienced sadness, rejection, but also death. He saw with his own eyes, very close to us, the wages of sin, which can destroy a soul eternally. He took all those things on. What does St. John say in his book? He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. But we know that God did more than that, because Christ died for you and for me when, while we were yet sinners, enemies of God, fighting against him, he died for us. That's why this child was born, became incarnate, to demonstrate what real love is, real valor, real warrior spirit, to fight those enemies that you and I could not be victorious against. So remember how we talked about at the beginning of Mass, that woman who was encountering my friend Father John, and how she said that really stupid thing, saying that his vocation wasn't going to last. He asked her to imagine that moment of her wedding day when she was walking down that aisle. I want to ask you the same thing. Even just close your eyes right now and imagine you're there at the back, coming down on your wedding day, approaching the altar, standing there longingly. Your bridegroom is here longing for you to come down that aisle, desiring you, knowing all the dangers that he had to endure in order to rescue you, to bring you to this day. But recognize that your bridegroom isn't just some man. He's God. He's Jesus Christ. And today, he is going to be here as you walk down that aisle. He's going to be waiting for you right there. He really will. He really will, because each one of us, as we approach him in the Eucharist, he's going to give himself up to us. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Our bridegroom is waiting for us. The Eucharist is God. The Eucharist is Jesus. And God is love. And that's what we ultimately want. What does love want? Love ultimately longs for union, togetherness, to give itself, for itself to be consumed by the one who is loved. Isn't that what we do with the Eucharist? Brothers and sisters, your bridegroom delights in you and wants to espouse himself to you today in the incarnation. Realize that we already belong to God. From the very moment of our baptism, we belong to him. And receiving the Eucharist today is a real union with him. And that union with our God is ultimately what he came on Christmas to bring to us. And will be fulfilled completely when he takes us to himself eternally on our last day at the second coming. But the Eucharist prepares us for that moment. And so today, Christmas isn't a time of passively sitting in your pews and waiting to spend more time with your family outside of Mass. It's not a day of passivity. Today is really a day of decision, a day of action. Today is a day to make a choice. And just as our first reading last night talked about, God is going to call you by a new name, pronounced by the very mouth of God. Do you know what that name is? Do you know what he's going to call you by? Mine. He calls to you as mine. He claims you as his own. In other words, what's happening here today is that God is actually getting down on his knees and proposing. He's popping the question today. And it demands a response. It demands an answer from us. The question is simply this: will you be mine? Will you be mine? That's what God is asking. He's not just saying, will you be mine today on Christmas Day, or will you be mine on Easter Sunday, or will you be mine when Uncle Lou dies? He's saying, will you be mine every day? Every single Sunday, will you actually come and be mine? Will you be mine even every day in between Monday through Sunday? Will you be mine? He's saying, I want you more than I want my life itself. That's why I gave it up for you. That's why I came down into your presence. I treasure you more than I treasure my kingly dignity, safe from your attacks. That's why I became a little baby boy. Poor boy. To enter into your difficulty. That's what the incarnation is about. Today, what are you going to say? What am I going to say? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.